I've chosen my remarks this morning on what I would call a reoccurring theme that we have heard from many brothers, including myself, over the years. And I think it's helpful, if not for the exhorter this morning, hopefully for the rest that are here this day, as reminders of encouragement and examples that we have in the Holy Scriptures to provide us that encouragement to run the race that's set before us. And to begin my remarks, I'm going to read the chapter of Romans chapter 6, which we often read in part at baptisms in setting up a new life and running a new race. And we'll refer back to it later in our remarks. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of uprightness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether is sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded yourself members to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the broadest sense of the word of running a race, we have the human race. And it is God's overwhelming love, which we read, which provides us the direction. In the Bible, it's a story basically of one race of people, that being the Jews in the land that was given unto them by our Heavenly Father. If we go back into chapter 5 of Romans and read now from verses 8 through 15, a precursor to the words which we just read, we're talking in the beginning of verse 8, but God commandeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, and is the figure of him that was with him. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many is dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And so we have this overall umbrella of running race for all mankind, and that is the Adamic sin that has been placed upon all mankind that will die. And so all are faced with a race of life. And individually, how we handle that in response to God's word helps to determine the direction we set in our life and the outcome. There are challenges in everyday living. The world of all peoples face, whether it's family, school, work, or very survival. And as we have read in chapter 6 of Romans, we have a race after baptism and have been provided some guidance, which we pray will lead to everlasting life for all of us. When you consider a race, there are many challenges, whether it's a foot race, a car race, a boat race, an air race, or the race of life. There are certain parameters that apply to all. First and foremost is to understand the course that we are running, the direction we're going, the design and shape, the goal and its destination. Where do we want to be at life's end? And in that preparation, in a physical race, we work on our bodies. We depend upon what we eat, what our intake is, our strength preparation, our building of muscle. And through repetitions, we build up fitness and endurance. Along a race, we must spend our time eliminating distractions that help to discourage us, obstacles, if you would, along the race course of life. Romans 6:23, of which we just read, we are told the wages are sin or death. So if death is the main problem, which we don't want to be a part of, although we are all of dying nature, we would not rather be able to participate in everlasting life. We have to overcome that sinful nature and the challenges we face. Turning to Romans 7, Paul continues in providing us examples, his examples of his life, the struggle of the natures of our body that we strive to overcome. And in verses 13 through 25, we read, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me, that which is good, that sin is the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. Again, we have this challenge of sin and death. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and that which I would do, I not, but that which I hate, that do I. And then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, is it no more that I do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. And so we each are faced like Paul with the sinful nature and the desires that go with it that take us off our course to run the race, to win the trophy, to win the prize, with the grace of God being that of everlasting life. Continuing through the next verse, 18, I know that in me that it is my flesh that dwelleth no good, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And I would have to say that that applies to each of us. We have the desire, we have the will to do that which is right, but we have this energy that has a tendency to push us in the wrong direction if we allow it. And so we have to overcome. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He kind of repeats what he said earlier. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more that I do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. For I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me to the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind of myself, serve the law of God, but in the flesh, the law of sin. And so we are thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that provided a pathway for us to overcome the everlasting sin that we are born with. Paul continues in Corinthians in chapter 9, and he's talking to the brethren now in Corinthus, and he uses the example, and we'll talk in actually Hebrews in a few minutes, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 to 27, by way of background, Paul is comparing, there were races at his time in that area of Corinthos. They were called the Isthmian Greek Games, and there's an isthmus, there's a crack, if you would, a fissure in the land that provides a waterway through, and that's outside that area, and that's where they conducted games. And so it creates an imagery in the background for those to whom he's speaking, because they're familiar with these games that appeared each summer. And in 9 verses 23 through 27, he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, that we may obtain. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do obtain a corruptible crown, but we, I should say, seek an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body to bring it to subjection, lest that at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, in each of these verses and chapters that we have read, has this continuing theme of the challenges of running a race. And this imagery he's trying to portray continues in the books of Hebrews 11 and 12. And we'll start the very first verse of Hebrews 12. And in this case, he's painting another picture, if you would, of the ancient foot races that were held with the Greeks and the Romans. And the athletes in the stadium were surrounded by rows and rows of spectators. And thus we have this analogy, 12 verse 1, referring back to what we're going to cover in chapter 11, this cloud of witnesses. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so this cloud of witnesses provides us hope. It provides us guidance. It does so through examples. And there are many to choose from. If we think about it, in today's vernacular, there are many how-to books, how to do this and how to do that. The Bible is the greatest how-to book that's ever been presented because it provides us examples, whether it's under the children of Israel or specific examples of individuals, of how to accomplish something. And in this case, we're referring to running the race of life. And in this case, chapter 11 provides us with examples of witnesses who died then, who displayed their faith. There are 16 named individuals, some of which are Noah, and he was the only man plus his family that was left after years of people making a mockery of his accomplishment of trying to build this ark. There was Abraham, whose faith was tested to the ultimate. And for those of you that have children, the very thought of taking a child and putting it up on a sacrifice and trying to explain what you were doing became an enormous challenge. The challenge of going into a foreign country as they were leaving Egypt. We are told that it was by faith that they had knew that their builder was Yahweh and he provided the guidance. We are told that we turn to verse 11, where we said, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child that she was past, because she judged him, God, who had faithfully had promised her. And so she believed by the very fact it was Yahweh that had said this would happen. We are told they all died in faith, but with a promise that they saw a distance afar off. There were stories of Jacob and Joseph being sold into bondage and being used as an example for God to provide protection, where the Israelites had to move into Egypt, and then their departure from Egypt under the guidance of Moses. These all ran the race. They were all part of that cloud of witnesses that passed the baton, if you would, from the time of the Old Testament to the time of Paul. And he shares these very examples, living examples, if you would, that had existed. And we likewise have a challenge to pass the baton of understanding that we have to those who will come after us. I was thinking earlier, we're listening in, and Brother Mack was commenting about having elders and responsibilities in the sometimes difficult situation that is. But we have, whether it's as an individual or collectively as a serving board or as an ecclesia, to collectively provide the strength and nourishment for those that come after us to keep this word alive, just as Paul is referring to the cloud of witnesses that we have just read about. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, it continues to say, to set aside every weight. A weight slows down a runner. And if that weight is your sinful or my sinful or our sinful behavior, our lack of direction, our floundering, it's very difficult to be influenced by the world around us, no matter what that source is, whether it's a person or a thing, whether it's the internet, whether it's school, all of those things have influence upon us and cause us to wobble, if you would, to not stay the course that's set before us. And if we do that, we lose our focus. That sinful nature that Paul talked about begins to creep in. We have burdens that distract us. We have things that entangle us into the world and draw us away from the Word. We are told in Hebrews 12 also to run with patience and how to look to Christ as that very example. Let's turn to Philippians just for a quick verse. Philippians 3:14. Again, we have the words where he's speaking to the brethren and says, I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And now we're seeing this continuing theme of not so much the sinful behavior or nature, but the example of which God has provided through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, a way to go forward, a way for achieving our mark by the example he set and the pathway he provided for us for reconciliation. Yahweh has set the course. He has allowed his Son to be crucified, and it has fixed our eyes upon in a different direction. Matthew, a famous memory verse, chapter 6, verse 33, we read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be awarded to you or be added to you." We realize it is not easy. Referring back to Romans, this time in chapter 2, the verses 6 and 7, again, familiar verses. "Who were rendered to man according to his deeds, but to them by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life." That's a short verse. It encompasses a lot. It encompasses a lifetime. For patient continuance, day after day after day. And I think that's why it's important for us to look backwards to those that are listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and all of the associated doctrine that was given to us and the stumbling blocks that they encountered and how they overcame. There are many obstacles we have to eliminate, we have to overcome. We have in Romans 6, which we read this morning, just to highlight a few of the verses which we read. Again, the importance of Christ, beginning of verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried unto him by baptism into death, and as Christ raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life." And so in lies a commandment that each of us have accepted as we walk through the waters of baptism to do things differently in our lives, to stay focused on that which is life-giving in that newness of life. Further on in the chapter, we have verse 11 where we read, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And again, there's that choice, sin and death. And the challenges are in between each of our lives and each of us as an ecclesia staying focused and working together to do that which is right. "Neither yield yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, for your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And so we are given that challenge to stay focused to do that which is in what God wants us to do, not what we feel we need to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us how to prepare, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God through prayer and our priorities. Our diet is made up of one thing, and that's the Word of God. We can't go wrong. We are given every choice, every example, whether it's the body of the children of Israel or whether it's the individuals that are provided for us. There has never been a thing that I haven't found that's not available for us to refer to. Whether emotionally, spiritually, or physically, there's guidance and direction for us to follow. In 2 Timothy 2, and we won't go into all the verses, but verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11, we read about the things we need to be focused on in preaching and rebuking that which is not right, to challenge that which is not right, and to exhort one another unto good works. That's all part of the endurance of the lasting in a race. And then in 2 Timothy 4, we are challenged in verses 2 through 5 to complete the duties of our calling of the ministry. Verses 4, 6 through 8 are Paul's final words unto the brethren, to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:12, we are told to fight the fight. We are encouraged, but not challenged by death. We are told to get rid of obstacles, the bad habits, the bad thoughts, the bad attitudes. We are to prioritize our life. You know, in today's world, so much of what we see around is done under a sponsorship. And in the next coming week, as an example, there'll be the Tour de France, and you'll see people wearing jerseys with all types of sponsors. Those are people that support that individual or that team. However, we have a greater sponsor. When you think about it, and we think about the frailty of mankind, in the Old Testament, we have Moses, who was sponsored by our Heavenly Father, and specifically in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, when from the burning bush, Moses was selected. And what was his rebuttal? "But I'm not strong in speech, Father. What can I do?" And eventually, Yahweh provided his brother Aaron to help him. We have an example of Joshua, who was then took the baton, if you would, as Moses' right-hand person, and it was allowed to then cross over the river into the new lands, and he carried the new baton. That was he had learned from Moses and carrying the people through the wilderness. In the New Testament, we have a new sponsor. The Old Testament was guided by the hand of God through those that were selected, whether it was the prophets or the judges or individuals. We have the sponsorship of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we are told in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What better example we have to provide us the direction that we need? To win a race, we need guidance. We have to challenge one another. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Be obedient." He's told to be as little children. In Titus 3, verses 1 through 9, we are told to embrace meekness. We are in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. We are told to put on the new man, become a new self. And all of this must be done in our lifetime, focusing upon the guidance that our Lord Jesus Christ provided, the perfect example. We have the example in 1 Peter 2:21 of the fallen Christ. In 1 Peter 4:1, we are to be of the same mind and the same person, purpose of that individual. In 1 John 2, verses 6, we are told to walk as he has walked. And finally, I'd like to read from James chapter 1. Again, familiar words. Because in all these cases, all these examples of running a race and our preparation and our endurance, our focus to overcome obstacles, a race of life and a race, a foot race, have a lot of similarities. James 1, verses 2 and 3. "My brethren, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or tests, if you would, or trying. Know this, that the trying of our faith worketh your patience." Verse 5. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Again, we said focusing daily on reading and prayer. And in verse 12 of the same chapter, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Thank you. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unlimited statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. For our memorial service this morning, let us sing together hymn number 104. Sing praise, the tomb is void, where their Redeemer lay. Sing of our hands destroyed, our darkness turned to day. Weep for your dead no more, friends, be of joyful cheer. Our star moves on before, our narrow path shines clear.